Good morning, Waiheke. This is Island Live on Waiheke Radio, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua. Sadly, we need to bid farewell to David Basham, one of our volunteers who's been with us for many years presenting Island Life in a mellow tone and putting a lot of work in behind the scenes here at Waiheke Radio. We want to thank him for all of the time and effort he's put into our community radio station. This morning we're going to be hearing a range of pre-recorded interviews. Brewer and Waiheke resident Ben Middlemiss talking on New York radio station Heritage Radio Network, Simon and Al from the Friday Drive talking to the Solomon Cole Band, and one of Waiheke Radio's newest volunteers, Greg Strafford, talking to musician and friend David Jacks. Ben Middlemiss is a New Zealand beer brewer whose talents are renowned around the world. For a number of years, Ben was a Waiheke resident, and he was a friend and mentor of the island's two commercial brewers, Alan Knight and Jeremy Wayne. Ben is currently in the United States exploring brewing opportunities, and while in New York, he stopped in to talk with hosts Mary Izzard and Chris Kuzme on Ferment About It on the Heritage Radio Network. He talked with them about his start in brewing the New Zealand beer scene and working with the members of the band Hanson.
All right, so we just... So after work, I joined up with Chris and our very special guest.
Our new friend, Ben Middlemiss from New Zealand.
Yeah, all the way from New Zealand. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you very much, guys. It's great to be here.
I have a question. Is Ben your real name?
I have to be honest and say no. It's a long story. I was originally Steve.
You're originally Steve.
And how did you get Ben? Because this is a good story.
Well, when I was at high school, when I started brewing...
Wait, you started brewing in high school?
Yeah, in 1968.
In 1968.
Those crazy New Zealanders.
Yeah. And, well, it was because my mother and father were getting a bit nervous about my hobby of making explosives. So I was blowing too many things up, and they thought they looked more favorably upon making beer. And, I started brewing there, and I brewed a beer called Ben's Best Bitter. And it was from an old English recipe by a guy called Ben Turner. And I made some labels up with Ben's Best Bitter on the label. And my good friend Jules, I went to high school with, was entrepreneurial sort of marketing and selling the beer and telling people that the brewer is just over there. That's the guy who made this beer. And they said, "Is that Ben?" And he said, "Yes." And I had to play along so I would get the sales, finance the next batch. And so the name stuck. My mother was a bit disconcerted, but I told her it was a passing phase. But, that's about 46 years ago. So
so now you've taken on the name Ben, except for your older brother.
Yeah, I got two brothers older than me, one younger, and they call me, my eldest calls me Ben, and the other two guys, Paul and Chris, they call me Steve. So I'm the only one that never gets confused.
That's pretty significant, though. 1968, in New Zealand, homebrewing, despite the age, what was the homebrewing scene like in New Zealand in 1968?
Well, to be quite frank, it was pretty terrifying. I suddenly grew very quickly to realize why the homebrew stigma, as it has been around for so long, people sort of screw their noses up and used to think, oh, yes, homebrew, and they had awful memories of it. And I can understand why, because there were a lot of guys making beer there during the war and they didn't have the right ingredients and they're using raisins and all sorts of things to make the fermentation in the bottle to give some carbonation. And some of those things, and raisins can carry lots of other things on them, and mm-hmm. most of those beers didn't turn out so well. And there's a story of people dropping soap accidentally into the brews and all sorts of things, which they're using old coppers where they used to boil clothes and to wash them.
Oh, wow.
And they became a handy thing to make beer, but they forgot to remove some of the things like that. It was a bit of an oversight. But, yeah.
And you said also at that time there wasn't a whole lot of sanitizing chemicals, or at least what you used by way of standard homebrew?
No, there wasn't. We couldn't get those sorts of things we take for granted today. So my mother was a keen baker, and she would come into the kitchen, get a bit annoyed because I'd taken over the kitchen. And when she opened the oven to get it ready to do some baking, she found there was no room left because I had about 100 bottles all stacked sideways, and heating them up to a high temperature to sterilize them because I'd washed them previously. And I used the oven to create the heat to sterilize them to make them ready for bottling beer.
Ben's best bitter was based on a recipe that was in Ben Turner's book.
Yes, Ben Turner. Exactly. Yes, he was a famous guy called. It was just basically his titles came out with either Ben Turner on the cover or BCA Turner, as he was sometimes known. And he provided lots of insight to brewing mead, beer, and wine. But my primary interest was beer. I had made some wine, but that took too long and got too many friends to come around and drink it all, and then we had to wait so long to make the next batch. So beer became the challenge, and it really was huge because I suddenly realized that the big breweries had all the knowledge and no one else had it, and the big breweries were never going to let that knowledge out of their grasp. So it became a challenge for me to learn how to make a quality product, because I believed it was achievable at home if you had the right ingredients and the right knowledge.
Do you still make Ben's Best Bitter?
To be honest, I haven't made it for a little while, but I have intended making it, and I will be making it again soon. I haven't made it for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm. But that started a long, that started a lifelong journey, this thing. And that's ultimately how we met you. We have only met you. We met you Saturday. We met you after the Arrogant Swine event that we just spoke about. You came from the Mermaid Parade. Not you weren't in the Mermaid Parade, although
no.
I think it would have been fun.
I don't look good in bikini.
So just a backstory, the Mermaid Parade is a big deal here. It's at Coney Island, Brooklyn. It's a crazy celebration of all things mermaid and from the sea and...
What I noticed, what I did notice, though, that a lot of the mermaids didn't seem to have any. It seems to be different here. That you don't have to have necessarily a top to your
toplessness
outfit.
Is totally legal in New York City.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yep,
I tried not to look most of the times. I looked between spread fingers.
But the Mermaid Parade is a big. So that's one of the classic New York City events. Yeah, I would say definitely like old, you know, Coney Island, Brooklyn, hardcore. You know, New York fun.
Exactly, and it was my first trip to Coney Island. I loved it. I mean, although I didn't have a Coney Island hot dog, I regret that. But
it's a mob scene. That's
Oh, it was incredible. And it was everyone, all the families were there. The kids from the tiniest to the oldest, everyone was having a ball. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Actually, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a great event. And then you went to Owl Farm. So Owl Farm is a local. Great craft beer bar in South Park Slope.
Their third anniversary, and had a great big party on Saturday, and we got to meet everybody. You guys came through, and Ben Middlemiss is the name of your brewery that and you're currently distributed through Shelton Brothers.
That's
in the
great.
United States.
Yes.
And Bob and BR brought you to us through that.
And Joel.
And Joel, Joel. Yes. Trombone playing beer slinger.
Joel's a cool guy, you know. I mean, I like the Shelton brothers, and they're all very interesting people, and especially, I mean, Joel with his music too, and I love the fact he's a really cool bass player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, how did you get from homebrewing in 1968 to, you know, having your own brewing company?
Well, I continued to make beer because I've always had a passion for it, and I moved to Australia back in about 1980, and I stayed there till 1992. But while I was there, I met this Australian guy called Graham Howard, who built this incredible, like a German brew house brewery in Brisbane, and I was down there every day watching its progress, tasting the beer. It completely hooked me so much that I thought, I've got to just do this because I can't believe it's so much fun seeing someone having so much fun making a product that ultimately he's so passionate about it, but ultimately the public were enjoying it, and seeing their reaction to it makes the whole thing worthwhile. You know, and to me, creating and seeing it through to the end and watching people enjoying and really getting into it was just the best thing I've seen in a long time.
And so what happened? So you moved back to New Zealand?
Yes. My mother sent me a telegram. My hometown I came from, these guys were building a new brewery that had the first one in Blenheim since World War II. And Blenheim is a little town in the northeast corner of the South Island of New Zealand. And they decided to build this little brewery, and I decided I could go and run it for them. And so they didn't know who I was, but I approached them. I wrote to them and said, hey, look, let me come and run your brewery. I've got these, I had a very big set of awards. I'd won as an amateur brewer in Australia. And to my surprise, they responded and said, yes, we'd love to have you. So from that day on, I moved back to New Zealand, and I was thrown right in the deep end and brewing 10,000 litres of beer each week from the day I started. And my engineering skills and background, fortunately, helped me with that. Otherwise, I think it could have been quite a challenge otherwise.
Absolutely. So what did you start? So when you went there, what was the idea behind the brewery? What did you start brewing?
Well, the guys that opened that started the brewery, they decided that they wanted to compete against the major breweries. At that point in New Zealand, there were two major breweries, Lion Breweries and DBE Breweries, Dominion Breweries. And they had a share of the market in my home province. They were selling 30,000 litres of draft beer a week, which was being consumed in the local area. When we started brewing, I came up with some recipes, and we started brewing this beer, and we stole a third of the market share from the two major breweries in the first month of operation.
Wow.
So, needless to say, the two major breweries were very upset. DB didn't worry too much, but the Lion breweries, they were a little bit more than upset. So things got a bit nasty after that for a while, but it all worked out fine in the long run, and the brewery went on to great things.
Awesome.
With that, we're going to take a really quick break.
We'll be back with New Zealand Hop Talk.
That's right.
Alternatives to rice holes and much more.
Awesome.
From Men About It.
L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
This is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to For Men About It on heritageradionetwork.org. We're here in the studio with our new great friend, Ben Middlemiss of Ben Middlemiss Brewing, which you can find more information about at benmiddlemissbrewing.co.nz. The NZ is because it's in New Zealand, and he's here from New Zealand. And speaking of New Zealand, well, we're doing all this whole show is about New Zealand and you in New Zealand. Mary's favorite hops are from New Zealand. She's kind of a New Zealand hop freak.
I haven't told you this yet, but it's true. So let's talk about the New Zealand hop scene. So, well, first of all, we have to preface this by saying that, so I met up with Chris and Ben after work today, and you guys had just come from Other Half. Mm-hmm. I met up with you guys in threes, and then we went to Derek the Norseman, Greenpoint Beer and Ale.
Mm-hmm. Well, we started at Greenpoint Beer Works.
That's true. But anyway, we saw New Zealand hops all along the way. But
we did. We did.
It's kind of, what's your take on that?
Well, I'm excited because it's pretty weird because when I'm in New Zealand, there's a lot of the brewers there, the craft brewers, just absolutely love the American hops and the flavor because they like the West Coast style beers, you see. The Green Flash style beers and then the Firestone Walker, etc. It's very comforting to come out here and find that a lot of the American brewers really love the Kiwi hops.
Yes, absolutely.
And and why not? Because they are brilliant. They're fantastic hops. We've got all the fantastic piney and citrus flavors coming through. It's nice to see them offset. The New Zealand style, New Zealand hops are quite different, of course, from what the flavors we get, that some of the tropical characters you get from the American hops. But I really, personally, I do use a large number of New Zealand hops in the beers I make because I, not only because I'm trying to support the industry, it's I just really like the characters that are present and I guess like to create some of those flavors which have a good reference back to our own industry.
So what are some of your favorite New Zealand hops Zealand hops that are, home brewers and commercial brewers here in America should look out for?
Well, Motueka is a very wonderful hop. Kohatu, Waiti, there's Southern Cross, Pacific Gem, Pacific Jade, Green Bullet.
Green Bullet.
Yeah, and Pacifica. The list goes on and on. There's a very good array of New Zealand hops, and I can see that a lot of the brewers here are trying to get hold of them and obviously having a little bit of difficulty, I guess.
Absolutely.
Demand and supply, the rest of it, situation, but it's very good to see.
Yeah, I think a lot of home brewers, it's interesting because I feel like it's definitely much easier as a home brewer to get hold of New Zealand hops. A lot of our local and also internet-based kind of big homebrew shops in America get all of these New Zealand hops. So it's a lot of fun for homebrewers to experiment with here in America.
Yeah, I guess I get more chance to experiment because those 100 gram the 1 ounce packs are sold in here, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess they're easier to get. It's when you're in a commercial scale and using large quantities, then you've got to start thinking boxes of hops.
And
then
that contracts
gets a little bit more involved. Yeah, contracts and usage and the rest of it. And it's no different for us back in New Zealand. We have to look at that situation and try and forecast what we're going to be using for the year. But I'm really encouraged by seeing the guys using New Zealand hops here and tasting some wonderful examples of beers here made in this neck of the woods using New Zealand hops, and it's pretty exciting for me to get to try them.
You're listening to former Waiheke resident and New Zealand brewer Ben Middlemiss being interviewed on Foment About It on New York's Heritage Radio Network.
So what's your favorite beer? So if you were a home brewer or even a pro brewer and that is taking advice from you, what would you say, what's your favorite way to use New Zealand hops? What kind of style?
I guess it'd have to be ales, particularly pale ales, because you can showcase the hop in a way that you're utilizing the flavor characteristics apart from the bittering, but you're getting wonderful aromatics out of a lot of the hops from New Zealand, and some people aren't using those qualities, I feel, the scope you've got with those hops to make beautiful dark beers, porters and stouts. And also with the likes of the Nelson Sauvin, etc., you can make some stunning ales as well as some beautiful pilsners.
Mm-hmm.
With have the nice aromatic and a nice sort of almost a slight fruit character coming through, which you can really find that New Zealand hops are wonderful for that type of.
Yeah, and I think that's something we're seeing more of, or that I've been seeing more of, is we have this, you know, India Pale Lager that people are making.
Yeah.
But also, these, I've had a single hopped, I was in California earlier this year, and I had a single hopped Motueka Pilsner, and it was delicious. And I think actually Chris at Dirk the Norseman, Greenpoint, also makes a single hopped Motueka lager. So I think lagers are really interesting because they showcase the hop in a very different way than an ale does.
Yes, they do. They do. They do. Some, you know, some of the lagers I've tried here in the US particularly seem to have a little bit of harshness up front, and the pilsners and quite a bite, which is maybe not the best thing. But I've tried a couple in the last couple of days that have wonderful characters, so they let the malt come through a bit and the dryness is there. But also you can get a more delicate taste, which you expect to find in a nice pilsner, and I've been pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
There are other interesting ingredients in New Zealand and that don't come in a box, and thinking outside of the box is something Ben Middlemiss does. What is the gorse? What is a gorse, and how did you use this very foreign thing to me?
Well, yeah, we were, unfortunately in New Zealand, we were prone to have all sorts of horrible things introduced into the country from our forefathers coming from immigrating from England, thinking that they would be fine to grow and live in New Zealand, but most of them weren't. And gorse was one of those things, and it's a horrible noxious plant in New Zealand now, but it was originally used as a thorny sort of a hedge to. Some cattle like to feed on it, but it was also quite a good stock control area. They could use it for natural sort of fencing. But when it came to New Zealand and they introduced it for the same purpose, it had no boundaries in a sense, and it just went crazy. It liked the climate and grew out of control and became a noxious weed with these horrible big prickles on it, which did do a lot of damage if you landed in there. However, the flowers that grow on the gorse plant are a sort of a yellow, bright yellow flower in the middle of summer. You can smell them. They're quite a sweet scent. And they have a coconut-type character and very sweet, very nice to on the nose. And I knew that the English had made gorse flower wine years ago. And I decided to try making beer with gorse flowers. It gave a wonderful sweet nose with a sort of a coconut character, but was a bit unexpected to find a pepper character in the flavour too. So there's a little peppery note, but a lovely sort of a coconut note in the background. So used in the right way and during the process of brewing, it can be a wonderful part of brewing, but just haven't figured a way of picking them yet without ending up looking like a pincushion.
But yeah, you used it two, and you did two additions, right? At the, you know, end of the boil and then,
yeah,
then dry hop.
Yeah.
Yeah, very fun.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an interesting concept, but it's a way of maybe using a noxious weed, but that could be proved more difficult and expensive to actually find a viable way of commercially harvesting those flowers.
But easy to do if you're a homebrewer in New Zealand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's easy to do that way. Yeah.
Forage for gorse.
Absolutely.
And then I was also listening to you talk about how you couldn't get rice hulls in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So what did you use instead?
Oat husks. They're great. Oat husks are pretty cool. I mean, one thing, you know, one of our parts of our heritage in New Zealand, because of the Scots immigrating to New Zealand, they love their porridge, or oatmeal as you call it here. And there's quite a lot of oats grown in New Zealand, and as a result of the processing of oats, there's to make the oatmeal or porridge, there's these husks which are left over, and they work just about as well, I'd say, as rice hulls. And so if you're making a very hard to make sort of a wheat beer, and finding lautering or mashing very difficult. It's always good to put some of that in there with your mash to just to make things run off a bit better.
Yeah, I think it's cool always to find something, you know, local and there as an alternative to kind of what we all think about doing.
And you are a gypsy brewer currently, correct?
Indeed, yes.
So fill in the gap between when you were brewing, taking over the what was the name of the brewery?
The Marlborough Brewing Company. Marlborough is the company, yes. I came back to run. And yes. Marlborough is the province where my hometown is in the South Island. After I left there, I went on with partners to form a company called Steam Brewing Company. And we had one of my good friends came out to help launch some of the beers, and there was none other than Michael Jackson, the beer guru from England. He's unfortunately not with us anymore. We produced some interesting beers there, and then I moved on to setting up for breweries and troubleshooting for other breweries within Australia and New Zealand. And then later on, I had an association with the Shelton Brothers because Michael Jackson wanted some of my beer called Benediction, which I made at the time, back in the end of the 20th century.
Benediction?
Yes, nice. Benediction. It was a name. It was like a Paul McCartney thing. He dreamt the name of yesterday. He woke up and he had that sort of in his brain. Well, it happened to me with Benediction, because I love Belgian Abbey style beers. I brewed this particular beer and couldn't think of a name for it, and I wake up in the morning after dreaming about it and had the name Benediction because of play on my name. And when we had the label, I had the two eyes and the word Benediction had little halos around the top of the upright instead of just a dot.
Yeah.
So it was a little tongue-in-cheek thing. He contacted me personally because Michael contacted me personally because he wanted beer sent out for his best beers of the millennium in the world. And I was very fortunate to be the only one chosen from the Southern Hemisphere to supply beer for this event.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I was completely blown away at the time. I must admit, initially, I didn't want to send beer because I thought it was going to some sort of tasting for the boys, which was going to prove a costly exercise to send the beer to the US. But when I realized what the event was, I sent the beer over at air freight at great expense. And then only to find that it got held up in customs because we couldn't get it in, that it had New Zealand labels on it and they weren't going to allow it to the event. So that's when Dan Shelton came to the rescue as an importer with his special proviso, and his import license allowed him to get the beer in. And so we became friends after that, and the rest is history, I guess.
Awesome. So tell us about the beer that you make now.
Oh, well, I make a few different styles of beer. I've got the beers we have here in America still at the moment. We've got Nota Bene, Belgian Abbey style beer, which was originally Benediction. Nota Bene has gone through, because of legalities back in New Zealand, we've now called it Nota Bene. And I produce the Nota Bene is an 8.7%er. When I produce a lovely English style IPA at 8.8% called Hodgson, named after the famous brewer who helped to pioneer the cause. And I make many other styles of beers, including Romanov Baltic Stout.
Nice.
Named after the last of the Tsars and the Russian dynasty. And I produce beers such as a harvest beer called hop harvest beer called Sticky Cones, which has a lot of hops in there. My son came up with that concept, my son Tim came up with that one. So we have some. Yeah, I'm very eclectic in my taste in music and food and beer, so there's many styles I like to make, and yeah. I haven't stopped looking yet. And
you keep it fresh and fun, and you've done a couple collaborations while you've been in the States this time around, which is pretty fun.
Absolutely, yes. Well, I've been working with Hanson, the famous boy band over in Oklahoma, in Tulsa. My first visit to Tulsa, I came out for the Hop Jam Festival a few weeks ago, and that was a lot of fun. We had so much fun, and those guys are really awesome, and they're so passionate about beer, and I'm just really encouraging to see that. And they have me involved. I've been making some beer alongside them. They're looking at different products, so I've helped them out there working on different product, and I will be going back to Tulsa in a few days' time to awesome. Carry on that work. I've also, since I arrived in Washington, D.C., before I came to New York, I collaborated with Blue Jacket there, and Blue Jacket Brewery is something I've been watching since the day it opened. I saw it on the internet, and I just had to go there. I knew I was going to go there. And, man, what an experience that was. It's such a brilliant concept, the whole building and the way the brewery set up. So I had so much fun brewing on different levels. I mean, you go up to the brew house, which is right up in the ceiling, and in this time of year in D.C., as you know, it's pretty hot. And yeah. I'd say it was about 105 in the brew house. And
muggy, sticky.
Oh yeah, but yeah. The brewers were very impressed, because they said they've had other collab brewers come through, and they suspend the time at the bar. You know, they get there, they sort of mash in, and they disappear for the day.
Yeah.
But I was determined, and I've never been any different. I saw that process through from the time we started to the time it went into the fermenter, the yeast pitching. I wanted to make sure everything was okay right through. So this is something I do, and they took great note of that. So. I'm looking forward to getting back there and tasting it.
Yeah, we'll have to head down to D.C.
Yeah,
we'll
do that.
We haven't been to Blue Jacket yet.
That's a good. It's a good New Zealand pale ale that's been made.
Awesome.
New Zealand style pale ale.
We definitely have to get down there.
Yeah.
So tell us more about the project that you're doing with Hanson Brothers.
Well, that's very interesting.
So they have the Hop beer, right?
Yeah. They've got the Hops beer, and I'm working on some other styles of beer that they're very interested in, and we've brewed some brews,
cool.
Trial batches, and I'm also looking at the moment, sort of putting some various quotes together at the moment from around the country, looking at setting them up a brewery in Tulsa so they can brew their own product.
That's great.
From scratch, yeah.
That's right.
It's very exciting for me, and it's so good to work with people like that. They're very down to earth and very good people to work with.
And it sounds like enthusiastic.
Oh, and very
enthusiastic.
That's
the thing. So much passion in craft brewing, right?
Well, yeah, there is. And I think I hit it off very well with these guys, because, I mean, they're great musos. They're great. They've got some great contacts. I've met some really interesting people since I've been in Tulsa. And I have an eclectic taste in music and a great interest in music, and I sort of followed it from my teens, and I just have so much fun seeing what they're doing and seeing their passion for music and seeing their passion for beer as well. It's
I say it often, but I think there's a giant parallel between making music and making beer, and
I think so.
And that's a
there's harmonies involved,
yeah,
isn't
absolutely.
There?
Absolutely,
sometimes
harmony,
it's
science,
five
and,
part know. Harmonies. You know?
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
That's right. Collaborations where the music happens.
Yes, exactly.
We're out of time on our show. Ben, I've so enjoyed our time together today, gallivanting around town, and I hope we get to do it again sometime. And I hope we get to make a beer together one day.
Yeah.
I would love that very much, guys. I'll just make sure it happens, because I'm going to be back. I can't do the accent, but I'll be back.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
You've been listening to Ben Middlemiss, New Zealand brewer and former Waiheke resident, being interviewed on New York's Heritage Radio Network show, Ferment About It. If you've been missing the Saturday breakfast on Waiheke Radio, don't fear, Simon and Al are still with us, but they're now presenting the Friday Drive from 5 till 7pm every Friday, with the same irreverent wit and new tunes. A couple of weeks ago, they were joined by members of the Solomon Cole Band talking about an upcoming performance and playing a couple of their tunes.
Now we're joined in the studio by, well, I was going to say there's a Solomon and there's a Cole and there's a Sophie as well. I can't hear anything. So
and
I'm
Jerry.
Jerry's here as well. I don't know who Jerry is. So it's all going on this weekend with the gigs. There's all sorts going on. There was previously mentioned that we won't mention that one anymore. That Radio Rebel Day gig that's happening.
When's that on?
Apparently tonight. So is nothing. It's exactly.
Haven't heard about that.
I think they're going to come on stage about 9:45 at Malone.
So so that's happening. Putting that aside, the Solomon Cole Band and I always get struggle with Ayowa.
Sounds good to me.
A planet.
Is that Danish?
I'm not sure what it is.
Why has it got a WASP name through the O then?
Is this a quiz? Because I'm stumped.
Yeah. What are those WASP names through an O chord? Does anyone?
Is it an umlaut?
Wouldn't you have a clue?
No, an umlaut is those two dots, unless it's a generic term.
Oh, anyway, that's a different. That's a different interview.
How would I put I think that that's in different as a word
quiz. Search. That's a different. That's a very, very different quiz.
I'm to the O.
So, Derek, Sophie, Solomon Cole Band and Yoa playing at Planet 2 tomorrow night. What's the story?
Well, Planet's closing down, I guess, in the way it currently operates and as we kind of know it.
Is it closing or just closing for the summer?
Well, as far as I know, it's closing down for good, and it's a great venue. It's always been a great place to go for a cup of coffee. Sure. I've always loved the room. The sound of the room's really excellent, and I really wanted to do a show there. We've done two there prior before they you know, change.
A lot of tofu there, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whatever that is.
A lot of wholemeal stuff.
That's not beef, is it?
No. I've never been there.
But yeah, okay. So
it's called a minuscule.
Is it? What? Right. Oh, my.
Oh, wow. Right. I don't know.
Complete world. Okay.
Through the owl.
Right.
It's a minuscule.
It's really nice to know that you're concentrating.
Who are these two in the studio?
Okay, so Solomon's all sorts of bands that you're involved with on the island. I mean, I probably shouldn't diversify too much, but I get a little bit confused with all the bands that are going on at the moment. There seems to be a lot. Everyone seems to be sleeping with each other.
Yeah, well, that's
a different story. But
wow.
I think I
don't know which parties you hang out.
How do I come back from that?
That was a metaphor, wasn't it?
I think it was a metaphor.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. This island's small.
Yeah, I prefer osmosis.
Yeah, this isn't Swoon, you know.
No, there is. Hey, look, I've been on the island for about 2 years, and there seems to be some stuff going on, and we've been glad to get amongst it, really, in the last 2 years, meet a whole lot of people, and meet a whole lot of really, really good musicians, and there seems to be a scene that's kind of, you know, re-sprung
really
to
has.
Life.
It really has.
It's excellent. And long may it sort of rain. The more bands, the better.
So you're involved with Aaron and the Revelators?
The Revelators. We just did that record. We just tracked that up at Bruce Plested's barn, actually.
Superb.
And we start mixing July, and we've got our first show at the Tuning Fork in October.
Excellent. You managed to get Aaron off the island. That's quite a feat. Well done.
Yeah. Hey, look, the great Glenn Ross Campbell, Juicy Lucy, The Misunderstood, 1969, Who Do You Love? He's playing on the record, and he may be joining us.
Oh, really?
In October. Yep. Yep. Fantastic.
That's good.
Ooh, what say? All right, that's good. He saw the Revelators. He doesn't go out much, to be fair, and he saw the Revelators.
And when I do, I have a miserable time.
Yeah.
But when I arrived at the rugby club and I saw Aaron was playing, I thought,
Jesus.
And then he started playing, and eventually I was just drawn to the dance floor, and then I just spent the rest of the night dancing because his band are so very good at making people dance.
Rugby club, you're talking about the 50s?
Yeah,
that was a good show.
Oh, really on top form.
We really enjoy playing with the Revelators. I mean, it's really what music's about, really, just a whole lot of people come together, write some songs. Aaron's a great lyricist, he's got some great songs. As soon as I kind of met Aaron and heard the stuff in the barn, I thought it needed to be a record,
He does always need another person to kick him up the bone a little bit. That's
me.
Yeah, exactly. Because about four or five 5-6 years ago, it was Bead and the three-legged horse thing, and that was great, actually.
Was that really that long ago?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember when we used to be able to shout out requests for Britney Spears, and he would play them.
Yeah.
Really? Really?
They did. Hit me, baby, one more time.
I requested that he sang Britney Spears' Hit Me, Baby, one more time. He learnt it and played it rather well, I think.
Oh, wow.
Well, Soph tensed up stage just a few times these days because me and Aaron played at Solar a couple of weeks ago, and there were some people. Sophia would join us on stage for a few songs, then go off, and then some people would come up and go, you know, could the lady come back on stage now? Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Well, it's not like I go out of my way to.
So, Sophie, how do you get involved with these boys then? Presumably you're sleeping with at least one of them.
Oh, God. Jesus. Ethan. Hell no.
Simon, she's a Mormon.
Oh, excuse
me. My God.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, God, no.
Sorry, excuse me. Oh, she's blushing as well. I know it's dark in here.
Tell
me, how you got involved?
I used to sing with... Can you please not? Sorry.
Yeah, can you...
Thanks.
I was just trying to go off, you know.
Waffle on. Thanks. No, I've known Derek for years, Derek and Lee. I used to sing with them in another band many moons ago called Paola.
I think that some of that might be on this playlist.
Oh, God, please no.
I think you guys owe me money, actually.
somebody owes somebody money, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Then I moved to the island about 5 or 6 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it would have been about the weekend before the rugby club gig.
Super.
Yeah.
Super.
Yeah.
And you're a part of the island now. Fantastic.
I am.
Derek's got other people moving. Is everybody following you, Derek?
What's that? Moses. It's like the exodus off the mainland.
You know what? I mean, we have such a good time here and you know, a good crew of people that we've met in the last 2 years. And Soph has just joined that sort of circle. And so, yeah, I've got other friends saying, look, why don't you come to the island? It's a great hotbed of talent here.
Because I first heard of you before you even moved to the island when I met Lee and he came in and played some These Automatic Changes.
Yep.
There were some great tracks. There was that one track that was very Franz Ferdinand-esque.
Under Arrest.
Yeah, yep. Awesome track.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that. Sure. That's on the playlist as well.
That's good.
More money that we owe you.
Well, I got paid really well for that song, actually.
Did you?
So what's the current status of that band?
TAC, yeah. I mean, we've done quite a few support slots. We've kind of stopped doing smaller shows, so we've done... Pop Will Eat Itself. We've done Uriah Heep recently.
Isn't that amazing?
We did the two Ace Frehley dates. Supporting, yeah.
That's incredible. Who do you know that gets you hooked up with these big
Uriah
names?
Heep and Pop Will Eat Itself.
Yeah. I'd really like to have seen Pop Will Eat Itself.
That was interesting. Yeah, that was really interesting. Actually, Pop Will Eat Itself had a heavy metal drummer. It was really, really weird.
Well, they started off really Grebo-ish.
That's right.
Before they became
kind of crusty,
experimental.
Trancy. And so that was good. And, we deal with Metropolis. Metropolis are an excellent company in Australia and really approachable. So hopefully we're probably opening for... Hopefully we might be opening for Sebastian Bach on Skid Row in September. We'll see.
The Ace Frehley one was interesting because you're a bit of a Kiss fan, aren't you?
I fucking love Kiss.
Yeah.
Since I was 5.
Do you still have that poster?
What?
Do you still have that poster?
What poster?
the big black and white one.
Yeah, thanks, sir.
Yes, right on the ceiling, right above where he sleeps at night. What does the wife think of that poster right there?
Well, you know, it's Kiss. You know, the kids love Kiss. You know, it was actually a bit of a dream come true. You know, to be honest with you, Ace was really standoffish.
Yeah, okay.
From what I could see, he was quite standoffish with the people who paid also to see him.
Yeah.
And he's kind of a really weird individual. He's kind of known to be like that. The rest of the band were fantastic. Mm-hmm. The bass player from The Cult was great. That's your bass player.
Sure.
The guitar player was excellent. They were all really approachable, but Ace just kind of kept to himself. The two shows were good. Wellington was only about 250 people, so not huge. And the studio was pretty packed. The other weird thing about that, Simon, is, you know, it was over 120 decibels at that concert.
Amazing.
At the studio. Yeah, that's not amazing for you. I've actually got a little bit of ring in my ear from that concert. Yeah.
Okay.
But the crowds were good, really receptive to us.
Mm.
Same with Uriah Heep, really receptive. It's all rock and roll. It's good.
Good stuff. All right. There you go. So we're all about tomorrow now. So I think you guys better sing us a little song.
Sure.
What are you going to play for us, Guy?
Oh, this is a little thing called Fighting Fires, really.
All right.
Hey, you know, this is our last show for a wee bit. We're hoping to make some money out of the show because we're recording in August. Mm-hmm. And the same guy who did the Revelators record will be recording us. I believe he's doing Oyara as well.
Okay.
And so that's really what Sad Days
seem to be towards. A lot of sound guys on the island, don't they?
Yes.
Great blokes.
Yeah, great blokes.
Yes.
All right, take it away.
Can you hear that?
What's this song called, by the way?
Fighting Fires.
All right.
This fire, take this match, burn it all down. Take this gasoline, turn it on a little more. Going out where the cold wind blows now. Let's go. Won't shiver now, the sun don't shine. Trouble is the only friend of mine. Get it. With a bad luck, gonna be a slave. Find me in the cradle, lock me to the grave. With a bad luck, gonna be a slave. Find me in the cradle, lock me to the grave. Take the stitch, baby, cut it from the wound now. Raise the blood, baby, howl it at the moon now. Raise the spirit, hoist the shovel, throw the dirt down. Leaving here, not a shirt on my back now. Let's go. Won't shiver now, the sun don't shine. Trouble is the only friend of mine, baby. Baby, bad luck, gonna be a slave. Find me in the cradle, lock me to the grave. Baby, bad luck, gonna be a slave. Find me in the cradle, lock me to the grave. I'm a slave to this bad luck, bad luck. I'm a slave to this bad luck. I'm a slave to this bad luck, bad luck. I'm a slave to this bad luck. I'm a slave to this bad luck, bad luck. I'm a slave to this bad luck. I'm a slave to this bad luck, bad luck. Won't shiver now, the sun don't shine. Trouble is the only friend of mine. Hit it. Baby, bad luck, gonna be a slave. Find me in the cradle, lock me to the grave. Baby, bad luck, gonna be a slave. Find me in the cradle, lock me to the grave. Baby, bad luck, gonna be a slave. Find me in the cradle, lock me to the grave. Baby, bad luck, gonna be a slave. Find me in the cradle, lock me to the grave.
Ah, there you go.
Whee. Oh, sorry, can you do it again? I forgot to press the record button.
Brilliant, good stuff. All right, so what do you reckon we've got in store for tomorrow then, guys?
You know, look, we've been putting a lot into the show. I think the Solomon Cole Band and Oyo are quite a good mix because we're quite different acts. Mm-hmm. And we're Oyo really go for rhythm and texture, which is fantastic. It's it's a great way to open the night. And we just go, as, you know, I guess Sean kind of mentioned, as it's sort of dirty, sexy blues explosion, you know, and that's, I think it's going to be a good mix.
That's true, it's good little space for it as well. I saw you playing there just when you were a three-piece, actually, Lee and Dion.
Correct,
and, that was a while, it was a year or so ago, it was a cracking little night, that was.
Yeah, that's the whole reason I wanted to play there before they closed again. I had a really, really good night that time. Yeah. I can't remember, it was a solstice night or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a good crowd, and now we've kind of expanded to a five-piece. And,
all right, good stuff. Would you like to play one more before we disappear? And then I am going to play one of your current tracks. Would you want to play one more?
Sure.
All right, fantastic. Take it away. What are you going to play?
Little Sister.
All right.
Got to roll, 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 little sister, can we roll? Gotta rise, 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 little sister, catch a ride. Come on. You wanna lay low, low, little sister on the floor. Baby, bang your drum till I'm knocking at your door. Ain't got no time for love, now your big sister gone. So let's get high, little sister, roll the dice. Take a chance on a moment, just one night. Ain't got no time for love under your big sister's light. Yeah, yeah. Little sister, you got your come on, come on. Little sister, I got your heart in stone. You got to roll. Roll, roll, little sister, can we roll?
You gotta rise, 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 little sister, catch a ride.
Come on.
Well, you were sweet in my soul, honey, you got the drive. And I'm a junk house boy trying to take a ride. Ain't got no time for love. Sister's light,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Little sister, you got your come on, come on. Little sister, I got your heart of stone.
Sing it.
Got your heart of stone, baby. Can't leave you alone, darling. Got your heart of stone.
Yeah. Sing it.
Got your heart of stone, baby. Can't leave you alone, darling. Got your heart of stone.
Yeah. One more time.
Got your heart of stone, baby. Can't leave you alone. Got your heart of stone.
Yeah.
Little sister, you got your come on, come on. Little sister, you got your come on, come on. Little sister, I got your heart.
You got to roll, 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 little sister, can we roll? Take a chance on a moment, just one night.
Nice, fantastic.
See you guys tomorrow.
That was brilliant. Okay, really enjoyed that. So you were on your way here today. I believe you had a little altercation with the law.
Did you?
The coppers, yeah. The coppers got me. The coppers got me twice, actually. They got me last night on the way back from band practice.
Close, yeah.
Lucky I'm as clean as a pig.
So that was 11 o'clock at night or something? Or?
11 o'clock at night last night.
Yeah. No, that was me. That was you, was it? And him as well. So they're getting everybody. Actually, everybody.
And on the way here as well, yeah. So there's a lot of unmarked cars around the place. And
three. There's three unmarked cars on the island.
And I've actually just chosen to walk everywhere this weekend.
My car's on
well,
the trip, so
I'm about a minute. I'm about a minute's walk from Planet, so if you need to park your car,
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go. Okay, good to know. All right, I'm sure everyone's going to be safe out there. It's going to be a top night, I reckon, as well. Sophie, Derek, thanks very much for coming along. We're going to go out with one of your tracks,
and Jerry.
And Jerry.
See you, Jerry.
And his Birkenstocks.
All right, good stuff. All right, good stuff. Thanks very much for coming in, mate. And this promo has been all over the station for the last few weeks, so you should get a few more people there.
Yeah.
Good stuff. See you later, mate.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Waiheke Radio. You're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio. Over recent weeks, Waiheke Radio has been training new volunteers, and it's now time for the fledglings to spread their wings and fly on their own. Greg Strafford had his first show last week, and he invited in friend and musician David Jax to perform live in the studio.
I'm glad to have joining us tonight David Jax. How are you, David?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
And so you're here to kind of play a couple of songs and talk about your story on the island.
Well, okay, yeah, sure. I'd love to do that. It'd be great.
So what are you starting us with?
Well, this first song, actually, quite a special song to me. My first son turned 6.5 just recently, but... Six and a half months, and I played this song at the church, at Living Waters Church, and I'd love to play that song tonight. It'd be great.
Let's take it away.
All right, we'll do. Thank you. Brother John, have you seen the homeless daughters standing there with broken wings? Well, I have seen the flaming sword there over east of Eden, burning in the eyes of the Maker. Oh, burning in the eyes of the Maker.
Well done, brother.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, that took me back to the church, man.
Oh, good, man.
That was good.
It was so good to see you turn up in your suit, man. You were the best dressed person there.
Screw you. So tell me about the story of you joining the island, mate. I met you doing cricket, shout out to Lee, down at the Onatangi Sports Ground on a Wednesday. So what brought you to the island?
My mum, actually. Good old mum.
Good old mum. And she dragged you here?
She didn't have to drag me. She said, I'm going to Waikiki. I was like, yeah, okay, I'll come.
So how long have you been here now?
5 years. About 5 years.
Five years. And what do you do on the island? I mean, I know your story, but come on.
Yeah,
tell
the people out there. Well, I do my best to make as much money as I can. I'm a proud dad, so, you know, that's important to me. So
is Kiki and Isaac listening in this evening?
I hope so, yeah. Hello, baby. How you doing?
So your sort of musical influences, I know hanging out with you, you listen to all sorts of weird and wonderful stuff. What kind of led you to where you are in your musical career?
Wow.
Told you I wasn't going to tell you these questions.
I didn't realize I have a career in music, but thank you for having me on your show. And like good old stuff and then good heart stuff as well. I guess that's probably the best thing. Old stuff and heart stuff.
So what was that first song you played? What was that song?
Song's a song that a gentleman in I think it was the 80s, his name is Daniel Lenoir. He wrote the song, and Dave Matthews and Dave Matthews Band covered that song. And I've listened to the original, and they're both great versions of it. Dave Matthews to me is a great musician. He's a South African, which is really cool. His music has a South African influence. He lives in Canada, you know. But Dave Matthews, to me, is a really good musician, yeah.
So, okay, what's the next song you're going to play? And
so this is my own one.
And what's it called?
It's called You Look So Good.
Thank you.
And sometimes you do, Greg, but
thank you.
Not right now.
No.
You're pretty ugly. No, you're not ugly. If I can get the right key. This is a song I wrote when I was in the New Zealand Army. And the boys, you know, I'm going to play the song now. Well, thank you for having me. It's really good. Congratulations on your first night, bro. It's great. I wonder if I could be your over tonight. 'Cause in time, you and I may find we could be lovers for life, and the sun will rise in the morning as always, and the colors will be beautiful as always. So let your hope be mine. So good, I wonder if I could be your lover tonight. 'Cause in time, you and I may find we could be lovers for life, and the sun in the morning is always, and the colors will be beautiful as always. So let your heart be the crescent moonlight in this dark city lullaby bar. You don't know me, and God knows I don't know you either. But don't tell me you don't know how to fall in love on the crescent moonlight in this dark city radio shack. Dark city lullaby bar. In the dark city, you look so good. I wonder if I could be your lover tonight.
Certainly got an audience there. Ah, that was a good show.
Thank you.
It's you've got an appreciative audience here in the studio who kind of
cheers, yeah.
Tapping their feet and nodding their head. So,
but I pad.
Dave's cracking on there. So, Dave,
yeah.
Thank you for being on my
thank
first
you,
show,
Greg.
Mate.
Oh, wonderful.
Appreciate you being here.
All the best success.
Cheers, mate.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7pm and Thursdays at 12:30pm. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.